Coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz, welcome to the 2013 North Dakota Pheasant Season Opener. Welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Could I be any more dramatic? Welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Leary, former game warden, current biologist, and each weekend we connect you with the outdoors on especially as marquee of a weekend as the opening weekend of pheasant season is in North Dakota. I would venture to say, even with reduced population numbers, that next to the deer season opener, pheasant season opener is probably the next biggest thing. And I guess if I was going to do a pecking order in our region, I would go with the deer season opener, then the pheasant season opener, and you probably kind of toss it around, because what used to be a really big opener with the waterfowl opener has changed due to the fact that we have early Canada goose season. And that August Canada goose season actually draws a lot of attention away from the pageantry of what had been the waterfowl opener. It's hard to say, but the fact of the matter is, right now, this weekend is the opening weekend for pheasant season in North Dakota. So we bring in Stan Cohn. And Stan Cohn is an upland game biologist for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And Stan, I think it's been talked about for a long time. When the numbers came out from the brood counts in North Dakota in mid-September, and it wasn't a shock or a surprise to hear that the pheasant numbers were down in North Dakota. I mean, it comes back to habitat in winter. There's a lot of factors come into it. But as hunters take the field, Stan, it's not going to be a big shock or a big surprise that statewide across North Dakota, our pheasant numbers are down.
You got her. Pheasant populations are down. There's probably a lot of reasons why our pheasant numbers are going to be down this fall. We can tie in removal of CRP from the landscape. Grassland acres that are very positive for grouse are also going to be, overseeing those disappear. Commodity prices have changed, land use out there. We're seeing more row crops and soybeans going in. And then you throw the component of weather on top of it, and pheasants are starting to show some decreases throughout their range. We've been telling sportsmen this because, when CRP came in back in the late 1980s, and by the middle of 1990s, we started seeing good numbers of CRP acres throughout our major pheasant range, and pheasants responded and they took off and our numbers took off. And now as we start seeing the decrease of those acres, it's only to be expected that our population is slowing to drop off. But our late summer roadside counts are showing that statewide our pheasant numbers are gonna be down about 30% in all areas of the state. Southwest is probably going to have more pockets down there with a little better pheasant numbers, but I think folks hunting the Southwest are even going to find more areas where numbers are not quite meeting up to 2012 standards. So it's going to be spending a little more time walking. Hunting dogs are going to be helpful because there is a fair amount of vegetation out there this year because of the spring rains. But still, it's probably not going to be all that bad of a pheasant year. We harvested 613,000 pheasants last year, and it seems like if we stay close to that 500,000 mark, sportsmen are happy. But there is a group of people out there that have never hunted pheasants when the numbers haven't been high, sure. And those are the folks that will probably start seeing a little disappointment because the pheasant numbers won't be quite up to their expectations that they've seen in the past few years.
One last quick question before we let you go, Stan, is that when we talk about pheasants and upland game numbers being down, especially pheasants, is they had been at very, very strong numbers, some of the best numbers in modern day history.
So yep, that's correct. And I guess those are the things you got to remember, that, in 2007, we probably had the highest pheasant harvest we've ever had since back in the 1940s when we were shooting over 900,000 birds. But as we see those pheasant numbers and that harvest kind of hanging in that 500,000 mark, it still will probably be a pretty good year. But I think folks are going to see fewer numbers of birds in all areas of the state and have to spend a little more time out there hunting to fill their bag. And unless we see some really major farm program come through that encourages landowners to put that grass back on the landscape, or some other program comes along that puts habitat back on the landscape to really provide good nesting and brooding habitat for all our upland game birds, we probably won't see upland game numbers at the level that we've seen in the mid-2000s for a while.
So as we go into the opening weekend of the pheasant season in North Dakota, anything from your perspective, maybe some rules or regulations that we need to look at that may have been changed, that something that hunters should be aware of, Stan?
The only changes would be in turkeys. All the other upland game species regulations will be the same as they were in 2012. But for turkeys, we did we'll be closing the season 7 days early this year, so it'll close on January 5th when all the other upland game seasons close. We did this because we extended those seasons back in the early 2000s when turkey populations were high and we were trying to provide as much hunting opportunities as we could to the sportsmen to allow them to go in and take turkeys. Now that those numbers are starting to get low, we decided to back that season off a little bit, so there will be 7 days shorter season for turkeys. Otherwise, everything else will be the same as last year. The proclamations are very handy to have. Plots guides are very handy to have. And above all, everyone needs to be safe out in the field this fall.
That's a great, great, great point, if I could underscore that enough, to wrap up on, Stan. We appreciate you giving us a little preview of what hunters are going to find in the field this opening weekend of pheasants. And realistically, what they're not going to find in the field. It's going to be fewer pheasants. I forgot the turkey season opener this weekend, so I appreciate you bringing that up on the minor adjustment in the length of the turkey season as well. It's the turkey season opener, and I know that we do have some people that head out west with turkey tags and on the pheasant opener to give themselves that little bonus opportunity. And we get that a lot from the Red River Valley with hunters that'll take a extra turkey tag, an archery deer tag, and go out and do some pheasant hunting as well. Provides definitely some combination hunting opportunities as well. But as Stan mentioned, safety. So often we hear more about safety in terms of deer hunting because it's a shorter deer rifle hunting, shorter, more condensed season, 16 and a half days. But when you look at the statistics, you might be alarmed at the number of hunting accidents that take place in upland game. So wear the blaze orange. It's not a law in North Dakota, but it sure has become the law of the land. A lot of people do that. Wear an orange hat, no matter how warm it is, no matter how cold it is. Find something orange, put it on your head, wear an orange vest. It's not like the pheasants are going to be able to spot you stalking them. That's not the case whatsoever. So put on that blaze orange as you enjoy your time outdoors across the prairies. This is the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. On this opening weekend of pheasant season in North Dakota, that is exactly right. If you're not out there, if you missed it, how could you miss it? How could have it slipped past you? Probably, in terms of North Dakota, the second biggest opener that we have, the regular deer gun season opener, which happens in just about 3 weeks, 4 weeks or so, is the biggest opener. And since we don't have a traditional Minnesota-type fishing opener, I think you probably could say that the pheasant season opener in North Dakota is the second biggest opener that we have. So hoping you and yours have a little opportunity to get out and hunt some roosters. And I understand and I know that there are some people that take off the opening weekend and wait because they'll go out on Monday or Tuesday. I totally understand that. I totally know that there's people that don't really want to have the congestion and the competition, especially when you've seen over the past 3 years the rooster population in North Dakota shrink, the habitat decrease significantly. You combine those two together and you have odds on going to be more congestion in the prime pheasant habitat, the larger pheasant population areas. It's just a matter of biology mixing with sociology. Hunters migrating towards southwestern North Dakota, south central North Dakota, where in the past you could go out and you seriously could shoot a limit of roosters in Cass County. The odds of doing that have shrunk considerably. The amount of habitat in Stutsman County has really, really decreased in terms of CRP. So you have more people congregating maybe more into the Emmons County and the McIntosh County than you had into the Sargent and the Dickey County and the Ransom County. You have people traveling more specifically to Southwestern, to the Mott and the Region area to find the Roosters. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, we appreciate you allowing us to be a part of the weekend edition. The first weekend of the regular pheasant season in North Dakota for the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. I'm a former game warden, a current biologist, and each week we give you a little better handle on what's going on outdoors. We'll be doing that with a Central Dakota Outdoors Report with Pat Stockdale later on in our program. We also each week connect with CJ Johnson, and he gives us a little better idea of what's going on the Minnesota side. All that's still to come, but first, I want to bring in Dan Grove. He is the disease biologist. He's a veterinarian. He is a wildlife veterinarian for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And some of our archery hunters, some of our pheasant hunters in southwestern North Dakota, seeing the impacts of EHD, epizootic hemorrhagic disease, that's taken place in North Dakota. And Dan, nothing unfamiliar. In fact, it's happened several years in the past recently. How's this year's EHD outbreak compare to the past?
It's not nearly as bad, but it's still pretty bad. And we're seeing problems with it. There's a lot of animals dying off in a given area. It's not as widespread geographically. It's more limited to south of the interstate and southwest of the river, of the Missouri River at this point in time. But still pretty serious where it's actually occurring.
Wildlife veterinarian Dan Grove is our guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, talking about the recent EHD outbreak, and it definitely is localized when we talk about North Dakota and southwestern North Dakota, isn't it, Dan? And when it comes to outbreaks, you hate to try to categorize them because none of them are good, but maybe this year not as bad or severe as 2011, Dan?
2011, probably one of the worst ones we've seen in about 20 years, and that was actually geographically spread all the way up to the Canadian border, west of the river, and then actually we had cases east of Minot even. So,
Dan Grove is our guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. It's called epizootic hemorrhagic disease, and it primarily affects whitetails in southwestern North Dakota from what we've had. And as Dan mentioned, that we've had very severe outbreaks that have taken place recently and more geographically spread. But in terms of landowners, ranchers, seeing and observing what could be EHD, I mean, are you just looking for dead critters, Dan?
Basically, when you find sick deer out there, and it's one disease that will actually kill them off pretty quickly. So if you have large numbers of dead deer, it's more than likely going to be EHD, and we'd like to know about it. So if we can get fresh samples, that's the best. If it's down in our area where we're also dealing with CWD, we want samples from those animals, too, for CWD testing.
Definitely, something for folks to keep an eye out for. We're up against the clock here. We're going to be taking a break. So I just wanted to add on the backside before we do that, in the bigger scope of things, beyond deer or moose, but in any kind of fish and wildlife habitat situation, I say this on a regular basis, and the discussion with Dan brings it back up to light, is when you see a dead animal laying alongside the road, a deer, a raccoon, a skunk, there's a pretty good indication that that animal died from a vehicle collision of some sort. You walk down to the river and you see a dead carp or bullhead laying on the shore. It makes me sick. I mean, it's trash. It's no different than someone leaving their food wrappers laying on the banks of the river, or a soda can or something like that. But that's not an indication that there's something significantly wrong going on. You walk down to the same riverbank, and as you stand there casting, you see catfish after catfish after catfish flowing by dead in the river. And this has happened before. You walk across a field and you see one dead deer, two dead deer, three dead deer. Folks, that's a red flag. That's something that we need to hear about. It comes into the multiples. And that's the stuff that really throws up a red flag. That's when we need to hear about it and contact any game and fish office, any game warden, biologist. They'll find the right person. You can contact me at my office, 281-1220. Shoot me an email, outdoorslive@gmail.com, outdoorslive@gmail.com. And I get those on a regular basis. And I'd rather get 3 emails about 4 dead deer than no emails about that. So don't just assume that, well, somebody else has reported it. Stick around. Pat Stockdale with a Central Dakota Outdoors Report. Give you a little better handle of the action and the activity across North Dakota on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, as we continue to bring you through the opening weekend of the 2013 pheasant season in North Dakota. Understand that pheasant is not the only thing that's going on. These weeks leading up to the mid part and the backside of October, we typically see a spike in archery deer hunting activity. If you've been out there, if you've had an opportunity to maybe pass up a smaller buck, maybe that you're just waiting for a bigger doe, shoot me an email, outdoorslive@gmail.com. Interested to hear about the deer movement or lack of movement and activity. I know last weekend with the mix-up in weather, there was definitely some better movement in central and southwestern North Dakota. Not even a mix-up in weather. How about a whiteout in weather? And in our backyard, maybe not quite as much. In fact, the wet field conditions, not exactly welcome to the farmers for the here and the now. Rather go into spring with a little bit of moisture than go through what we went through last fall going, are we going to have anything moist out there? So it's always interesting. It's always interesting to see how things look from a broader scale and then also localized as well. As I mentioned, some great waterfall hunting that takes place the mid part of October. Yeah, we're waiting. We're waiting for the November 8th deer season opener. But there's a lot going on between now and then. Probably not a bad time to remind you to look for your deer license as well. If you can't find your 2013 deer tag and you were drawn for a deer tag, make sure that you were drawn first before you start wondering where you put it, because the number of deer tags did shrink and you might be thinking of last year or the year before that, thinking that you got drawn for a tag. Make sure that you got drawn for a tag, and then if you can't find it, if you can't find your deer tag in the next 12 hours, then go to the Game and Fish Department website. Click on online services, click on printable license applications, and print off a duplicate application. You fill that out, get it notarized. If you need something notarized, swing by your local bank. I've done this myself. Swing by the bank, they'll notarize it for you, you put it in the mail, and you'll have your replacement deer tag back in your hands before the opener. So you're a participant and not a spectator. Enough of that. Let's get a little better idea of what's going on outdoors with Pat Stockdale. You read her work in Dakota Country Magazine. You read her work in Minnesota Outdoor News. And she brings us, each week, a closer look at what's going on across North Dakota. Pat, what's cooking outdoors this week?
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Waterfall hunting is taking front and center stage in the North Dakota outdoors. However, there are still a few anglers on the water on Devil's Lake, and they're finding walleye. Work the same old areas, that's structure and bridges, using jigs and minnows, slip bobbers and night crawlers, or crankbaits. Try Pelican Lake or the Minnewaukan Flats. Other lakes throughout much of the region remain quiet, but the Cheyenne and Red Rivers are the place to be for some nice fall catfish activity. Both rivers continue kicking out good numbers of catfish as well as walleye. Try floating jigs and shrimp for the catfish and night crawlers for the walleye. Heading west to the Missouri River, anglers will find low water in many areas because the Army Corps of Engineers is in a water conservation mode. Garrison Dam daily releases remain about 13,000 cubic feet per second on the average. so accessing the tail race boat ramp requires a little juggling. Try the honey hole or chutes at night or from shore. Lake Sakakawea continues producing salmon from shore using spoons, with some bobber fishing as well. Also try long lining along the intake structure, but overall success is still somewhat slow. A few walleye are being found in deep water, but better activity seems to be farther west. With water being released from Lake Audubon to lower it 3 feet for the winter back into Lake Sakakawea, try working both sides of U.S. Highway 83 on either Lake Audubon or Lake Sakakawea, where the water is flowing. Once that shuts down, though, the activity will probably as well. Now, on to the major focus for outdoors folks, waterfowl and the upcoming pheasant season. While waterfowl movement could change rapidly depending on weather, generally in early October, hunters found many limits. Wheat and barley harvest is generally done. Bean harvest is underway, but look for corn harvest to start soon. Goose migration is slow yet, with limited numbers of swans or cranes moving into the northeast so far. Poor weather pushed many local birds out, but they remain across the east from Devil's Lake, south through Griggs, Steele, Barnes, and into Lemoore, Dickey, and Sargent counties. More cranes moved across south central and central North Dakota, with peak numbers not quite yet into Kidder and Burley counties. That could change soon, though. Look for good wetland conditions to remain throughout the hunting season. A few ducks and geese are in north central North Dakota, but there isn't a major migration yet. However, the push of ducks and geese came into northwestern North Dakota last week, I should say northeastern North Dakota, but a lot of local birds pushed out with the hunting pressure. Birds are still around, though, but they're getting wary of the decoys. The pheasant season opener could bring mixed success, and for those heading to southwestern North Dakota, it will be interesting to see what hunters find after the winter storm last week. Have fun, be safe, and enjoy the North Dakota outdoors.
Appreciate that report, Pat Stockdale, with our Central Dakota Outdoors report, and notably the southwestern portion of North Dakota with that extreme heavy snow. This is one of those cases where you can have and will see immediate mortality on such a severe snowstorm, regardless of that snow falling in October, November, December, or May. You can, will, and have seen some pheasant mortality. Along with that, roads soft with the melting snow. A lot of factors going into it that you might not see when you leave the Red River Valley, Fargo, Wahpeton, Hillsboro. But when you get to Hettinger, Mott, Regent, it's going to be very evident. So keep that in mind as the 2013 rooster season is underway. I should also make note that it was on this date 10 years ago that my daughter Caitlin was born. So a happy birthday to Katie. Incidentally, 10 years ago, we're at a Bison football game. The Fargo Dome was just about empty. I don't think it was homecoming. Can't remember exactly who they were playing, but I do remember that my wife and I went there, and it was just, we moved around like 3 or 4 different times. You could pick and choose where you were going to sit. That is not the case anymore as we enjoy another great fall pheasant season opener across the prairies of North Dakota. Coming up next, a closer look at some Minnesota pheasant season opener as well. CJ Johnson gives us a closer look. When we return, it's the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, as we continue to bring you through the opening weekend of the 2013 pheasant season in North Dakota. Understand that pheasant is not the only thing that's going on. These weeks leading up to the mid part and the backside of October, we typically see a spike in archery deer hunting activity. If you've been out there, if you've had an opportunity to maybe pass up a smaller buck, maybe that you're just waiting for a bigger doe, shoot me an email, outdoorslive@gmail.com. Interested to hear about the deer movement or lack of movement and activity. I know last weekend, with the mix-up in weather, there was definitely some better movement in central and southwestern North Dakota. Not even a mix-up in weather. How about a whiteout in weather? And in our backyard, maybe not quite as much. In fact, the wet field conditions, not exactly welcome to the farmers for the here and the now. Rather go into spring with a little bit of moisture than go through what we went through last fall going, are we going to have anything moist out there? So it's always interesting. It's always interesting to see how things look from a broader scale and then also localized as well. As I mentioned, some great waterfall hunting that takes place the mid part of October. Yeah, we're waiting. We're waiting for the November 8th deer season opener, but there's a lot going on between now and then. Probably not a bad time to remind you to look for your deer license as well. If you can't find your 2013 deer tag and you were drawn for a deer tag, make sure that you were drawn first before you start wondering where you put it, because the number of deer tags did shrink and you might be thinking of last year or the year before that, thinking that you got drawn for a tag. Make sure that you got drawn for a tag, and then if you can't find it, if you can't find your deer tag in the next 12 hours, then go to the Game and Fish Department website, click on online services, click on printable license applications, and print off a duplicate application. You fill that out, get it notarized. If you need something notarized, swing by your local bank. I've done this myself. Swing by the bank, they'll notarize it for you, you put it in the mail, and you'll have your replacement deer tag back in your hands before the opener. So you're a participant and not a spectator. Enough of that. Let's get a little better idea of what's going on outdoors with Pat Stockdale. You read her work in Dakota Country Magazine. You read her work in Minnesota Outdoor News. And she brings us, each week, a closer look at what's going on across North Dakota. Pat, what's cooking outdoors this week?
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Waterfall hunting is taking front and center stage in the North Dakota outdoors. However, there are still a few anglers on the water on Devil's Lake, and they're finding walleye. Work the same old areas, that's structure and bridges, using jigs and minnows, slip bobbers and night crawlers, or crankbaits. Try Pelican Lake or the Minnewaukan Flats. Other lakes throughout much of the region remain quiet, but the Cheyenne and Red Rivers are the place to be for some nice fall catfish activity. Both rivers continue kicking out good numbers of catfish as well as walleye. Try floating jigs and shrimp for the catfish and night crawlers for the walleye. Heading west to the Missouri River, anglers will find low water in many areas because the Army Corps of Engineers is in a water conservation mode. Garrison Dam daily releases remain about 13,000 cubic feet per second on the average, so accessing the tail race boat ramp requires a little juggling. Try the honey hole or chutes at night or from shore. Lake Sakakawea continues producing salmon from shore using spoons with some bobber fishing as well. Also try long lining along the intake structure, but overall success is still somewhat slow. A few walleye are being found in deep water, but better activity seems to be farther west. With water being released from Lake Audubon to lower it 3 feet for the winter back into Lake Sakakawea, try working both sides of U.S. Highway 83 on either Lake Audubon or Lake Sakakawea where the water is flowing. Once that shuts down, though, the activity will probably as well. Now, on to the major focus for outdoors folks, waterfall and the upcoming pheasant season. While waterfall movement could change rapidly depending on weather, generally in early October, hunters found many limits. Wheat and barley harvest is generally done. Bean harvest is underway, but look for corn harvest to start soon. Goose migration is slow yet, with limited numbers of swans or cranes moving into the northeast so far. Poor weather pushed many local birds out, but they remain across the east from Devil's Lake, south through Griggs, Steele, Barnes, and into Lemoore, Dickey, and Sargent counties. More cranes moved across south central and central North Dakota, with peak numbers not quite yet into Kidder and Burley counties. That could change soon, though. Look for good wetland conditions to remain throughout the hunting season. A few ducks and geese are in north central North Dakota, but there isn't a major migration yet. However, the push of ducks and geese came into northwestern North Dakota last week, I should say northeastern North Dakota, but a lot of local birds pushed out with the hunting pressure. Birds are still around though, but they're getting wary of the decoys. The pheasant season opener could bring mixed success, and for those heading to southwestern North Dakota, it will be interesting to see what hunters find after the winter storm last week. Have fun, be safe, and enjoy the North Dakota outdoors.
Appreciate that report, Pat Stockdale, with our Central Dakota Outdoors report, and notably the southwestern portion of North Dakota with that extreme heavy snow. This is one of those cases where you can have and will see immediate mortality on such a severe snowstorm, regardless of that snow falling in October, November, December, or May. You can, will, and have seen some pheasant mortality. Along with that, roads soft with the melting snow. A lot of factors going into it that you might not see when you leave the Red River Valley, Fargo, Wahpeton, Hillsboro. But when you get to Hettinger, Mott, Regent, it's going to be very evident. So keep that in mind as the 2013 rooster season is underway. I should also remember, I have remembered, but I should also make note that it was on this date 10 years ago that my daughter, Caitlin, was born. So a happy birthday to Katie. Incidentally, 10 years ago, we're at a Bison football game. The Fargo Dome was just about empty. I don't think it was homecoming. Can't remember exactly who they were playing, but I do remember that my wife and I went there, and it was just, we moved around like three or four different times. You could pick and choose where you were going to sit. That is not the case anymore as we enjoy another great fall pheasant season opener across the prairies of North Dakota. Coming up next, a closer look at some Minnesota pheasant season opener as well. CJ Johnson gives us a closer look. When we return, it's the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO.